Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And as you know, today is Election Day. I could say, Happy Election Day. Or I could say, how are you dealing with your anniversary grief over last Election Day? Or I could say lots of things. Later this hour, CNN's Van Jones will join us. His cry from the heart late on election night last year was one of the most important moments of the night for the majority of Americans who were horrified by that man becoming president of the United States. We will replay Jones's so-called white lash speech. It's just a minute. And we'll see why he thinks the nation can still come together, even as Trump uses polarization as a governing strategy. Van Jones coming up in about a half hour. But a lot of the show today will be what we usually do on Election Day, our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll. We'll do it in two sections today. First, New York. Then we'll have Van Jones. Then we'll do an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll for New Jersey. So, New York, you're up. How are you voting today for mayor? And with what level of enthusiasm? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How are you voting on the Constitutional Convention referendum? We've had two separate debates on the issue here on the show. Did you land on yes or did you land on no for Constitutional Convention, CONCON as they call it, and why? 212-433-WNYC. We had the candidates for Nassau and Westchester County executives. How did you vote in those races, or how will you later today, Nassau and Westchester residents? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And how about Cy Vance for Manhattan DA, or his write-in challenger, Mark Fleedner, and anyone else who voted for or on anything else in New York City or New York State? It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll for Election Day 2017. Call us up and tell us what you decided and why, and with how much enthusiasm, 212-433-9692. And while your calls are coming in, we'll touch base briefly with WNYC City Hall and politics reporter Bridget Bergen. Hey, Bridget, happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day, Brian.
Are you out at a polling site, or are you waiting to do big picture analysis from a headquarters or something later on tonight?
I will be at the Bill de Blasio headquarters tonight, and I'll be stopping by some polling sites throughout the day, you know, keeping an eye on how the elections are running, if we run against any issues. One of the things that we were reporting yesterday, which was a follow-up to some of the reporting we did before the primary, was about poll site changes. Again, a lot of voters are going to be impacted by new poll sites. And so we've been encouraging folks, you know, go to our voter guide, go to the poll site locator online. You can even actually call 311 today. And make sure you know where you're going before you go out, because we know it can be really discouraging for folks if they head out to go vote and, you know, go to a place that they've gone to for years only to find out that, in fact, their poll site has moved to a new location.
Really good tip. And listeners, you may remember that it was Bridget's investigative reporting that unveiled how many voters were disenfranchised in Brooklyn back on presidential primary day in New York last year. Has that all been fixed?
Well, we have some, you know, a pretty big update on that front. There was a settlement that was reached between some private plaintiffs who had sued the New York City Board of Elections, along with the Justice Department and New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Part of that settlement involves requiring the Board of Elections to really revamp a lot of their procedures, establish a remedial plan to ensure that purges like what happened before that primary can't happen again. And that will be subject to court review for an ongoing period right up through the next presidential election. It's pretty dramatic change that up to now the board has been unwilling to do, despite, you know, offers from Mayor de Blasio for $20 million to make some reforms, urging from state lawmakers, and certainly a lot of grassroots efforts to try and call for electoral reform. That settlement still needs to be signed off by a judge, but it's a pretty significant step, and it's thanks to a lot of work and negotiation from the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under the Law, which was one of the law firms that prosecuted that case, along with Latino Justice, Pearl Def, and it was all on behalf of Common Cause, which was the one of the named plaintiffs in that suit, that essentially said the board's practices up to this point for how it removed voters from the ballot violated both state and federal law. And in the draft of that settlement, the board acknowledges that, yes, in fact, they broke state and federal law.
So hopefully, folks, today when you go to the polls, at least you will find that you are actually still registered to vote, if you think you are still registered to vote. The mayoral election, Bridget, and you said, oh, and I should throw in here, since you're going to be at election at de Blasio headquarters tonight, we will be here with a two-hour election night show from 8 to 10 o'clock tonight. I'll be coming back in tonight and anchoring from 8 to 10. We will have Bridget from de Blasio headquarters. We'll have other reporters and analysts from elsewhere and in the studio. So listeners, if you're into this kind of thing, check us out tonight from 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. here on WNYC as I anchor Election Night Returns. And we'll do New York. We'll do New Jersey. We're going to check in with Virginia tonight, too, for that really ugly governor's race and the implications that that race has for next year's midterm elections. It's seen more than anything here as kind of a bellwether for how people might vote in the Trump era in a national context. So all of that coming up in our election special tonight at 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Hope you can join me and Bridget and everybody else who will be joining. So if Mayor de Blasio is going to win, like most of the media just says, oh, he's going to win. It hasn't really been a race. It's been so boring, blah. But of course, everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to walk to a victory a year ago. And I guess if there's a risk for de Blasio, it's in turnout. It might be that, hey, most of New York City does not really want a Republican mayor, but it may be how a lot of people feel about de Blasio, or just it's a done deal, so I'm not going to bother. Is that his biggest threat today?
I think that there is some real concern about turnout. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen in successive mayoral elections is declining turnout. In 2013, while it was this hotly contested primary where, you know, there were lots of candidates, and it was really down until the final months that there was a real leading contender, that being Bill de Blasio. When we moved into the general election, it was certainly much clearer that Bill de Blasio had a lead on Joe Loda, and you know, the margin of victory that he won by was the largest margin of victory anyone had won a municipal election by. In that race, however, we only had 24% of active eligible voters turn out to vote. And that was just over a million voters. I think one of the things to watch for tonight is, you know, even if, you know, even as if expected, Bill de Blasio wins and wins by what is expected to be a large margin, how many people actually come out? And is it possible that we don't hit that million voter mark? That would be, you know, in the view of someone who cares about people participating, pretty terrible. And it would be historic. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, voters, regardless of who they're voting for, know that they should get out there. They should vote for whoever they support. And checking those turnout numbers is something that I'll definitely be doing tonight.
All right. We're going to go on to our listeners and hear what people have to say in our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show Exit Poll New York edition. We'll do the New Jersey edition later in the show. We'll have Van Jones in between. I just want to tell everybody that Bridget's series, A People's Guide to Power, The Queen's Machine, was amazing if you missed it, and is available now through the Brian Lehrer Show podcast feed, including original material of Bridget and me in conversation. Check it out if you're subscribed to our podcast, or sign up for it for free wherever you get your podcasts. Bridget, just tell me one other thing. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but there's the Cy Vance running unopposed, but with this write-in candidate, Mark Fleedner, who is trying to get a write-in campaign going, or he had a write-in campaign. We'll see how many votes he gets because of Cy Vance's failure to indict Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump over that Trump Soho thing that they looked at, and failure to indict Harvey Weinstein. Do you happen to know if, since Vance is unopposed, he's got no Republican challenger or any other minor party, does he even appear on the ballot and people can write in Fleedner there, or do they have to start from scratch for a write-in candidate when the incumbent is unopposed?
That's a good question, Brian, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I'll have to check the sample ballots that the Board of Elections provides, but certainly that's something that a voter could do before, you know, a voter in Manhattan, before they head to the polls. There, you should be able to go online to the City Board of Elections and see your sample ballot, and so you should be able to answer that question before you go into the poll site.
All right, and I am being told right now from our control room that Vance's name does appear on the ballot. And did you say, Mary, there are instructions for how to do a write-in vote? There's just space for a write-in vote, and his name does appear. Bridget, throw in one other thing on the Queen's Democratic machine. Anything at stake with that on Election Day, or does that all happen leading up to the primary?
Well, a lot of what we talk about in that series is pegged to how the primaries are conducted, because that's where a lot of the potential challengers are, you know, knocked out of contention. But, you know, I will say that I know that there are candidates who are running for re-election for city council in Queens that have been, you know, campaigning pretty hard because they don't assume that their win is a lock. Elizabeth Crowley has been out campaigning in her district. Paul Vallone has been out campaigning in his district. And so while we, you know, have talked about how incumbents, you know, won every seat they ran in the primary, across the city, there are city council races in particular where there are challengers who are trying to send, if nothing else, a message to these incumbents that people are watching and you know, they're not completely satisfied with what they're seeing. Some interesting open races in Brooklyn, certainly out in Bay Ridge, in central Brooklyn, Prospect Lefferts Gardens. So there will be, as much as we, you know, assume that a lot of these races, we sort of anticipate the outcome, there's going to be some interesting stuff to watch tonight. So definitely worth tuning in, definitely worth following the results. And you know, our team will have some great results, as we often do, hopefully with some maps to show people where the votes came in. So lots of good stuff to look forward to tonight.
All right. Bridget Bergen, our City Hall and Politics reporter, will be with us on the election return special tonight at 8, and her series, A People's Guide to Power, The Queen's Machine, is available through the Brian Lehrer Show podcasts. Happy Election Day, Bridget.
Happy Election Day.
And now to our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll for anywhere in New York State, starting with Angela in Harlem. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Did you vote already?
Yes, I voted. First of all, I wanted to thank you for doing such a great show. I can always count on you to cover the issues that are important to me.
Thank you so much.
I voted, and I voted for Mayor de Blasio, and I voted for him because his policies have helped put money back in the pockets of ordinary Americans. Within months of his administration, he settled union contracts. He implemented universal pre-K for four-year-olds. He also did a lot of rent freezes. So there's a lot of money that's been put in back of the pockets of ordinary Americans under his administration.
And anything else that you're casting a vote for? How did, as an informed voter, which it sounds like you are, how did you decide on CONCON?
The Constitutional Convention? Oh, no. I voted no. Because I really think that it's going to be a bunch of lobbyists that are going to do things that are going to hurt us, like pensions. And I don't want to live in a right-to-work state. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I'm afraid they're going right. to put forth.
I'm curious, since you raised issues pertinent to public employees twice, are you a public employee?
Yes.
Yes. So clear where you're coming from.
And yes.
And did you bother to write in the Cy Vance election or to mm-hmm. vote for Cy Vance?
I voted for Cy Vance.
Angela, thank you very much for starting us off. Tim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. I did vote already, and we're pretty much a single voter this year because New York State is just such a cesspool of corruption. The state motto should be politicians for sale, and de Blasio has been no different. He's had the for sale sign hung out since the get-go. And the only way we can let them know that we see what's going on and we see the developers, the unions, the lobbyists, and the lawyers have the politicians in their pockets is to vote yes on the Constitutional Convention. And while you're at it, vote yes to take away their pensions. You know, that obviously the Supreme Court's no help with their decisions. You have to have a signed and notarized contract selling your office for money before you can be convicted of corruption. And, you know, we've got to do something about it in New York State. The only way we can let them know we see what's going on and we don't like it is to get out there and vote yes on a constitutional convention and yes on taking away their pension.
Yeah, and that's one that hasn't gotten much attention. That's question two. And by the way, listeners, if you're voting in New York State, don't forget to flip over your ballot after you vote for the people who are running for offices on the front. These questions appear on the back. And there's a little notice on the bottom of the page that says reverse, see reverse for more. But generally, you have to remember unless you're looking really closely. So don't forget to flip over that page after you voted for individuals. And there you'll see the ballot questions. And number two, which Tim is bringing up, would deny a pension to any public employee who's convicted of a felony relating to his or her job. And I imagine, Tim, when it's worded that way, it's going to be such a no-brainer in, around the state. Who wouldn't vote?
You know, the vested interests, you know, that have everything all tied up by the time we get to the general election.
Yes.
They want people to be complacent. They want them to be confused. And they want them to reinforce the status quo, much like your last caller did. You know, it's going to be the lobbyists. Well, who do you think controls it now? And who do you think doesn't want it to change? It's the lobbyists and the unions and the developers.
Right. And
big money interests.
That's the dilemma with constitutional convention. It's, are you more dissatisfied with the current special interests if you define special interests as public employees and the politicians themselves who have kind of an incumbent protection plan with the way the district lines are drawn? And to your point, both parties' leaderships have come out against a constitutional convention, so that would tempt somebody to vote for it. On the progressive side, people's fear, it's kind of a hope versus fear thing, people's fear is that with all this Mercer money and Koch money and everything else under Citizens United sloshing around, who knows what would actually happen under the state constitutional convention or in the state constitutional convention that might make the convention much worse from a progressive or even a good government point of view. So that's the dilemma. Tim, thank you very much for checking in and giving us your side of that. Let's go to Marty in the Bronx. Marty, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, and Brian, just to say that you and your show are a great institution for the metropolitan New York area.
Thank you very much.
Stay on forever.
Thanks.
I did not vote for mayor. I felt that the Republican was not seasoned enough, but de Blasio concerns me on his spending and his lack of oversight on the financials in the city. He's spending at a rate that's good for the economy now, but the programs he's putting in are long term. They don't end. And when the economy starts to go down, we're going to be burdened with a lot of programs. We'll now need to be burdened furthermore on with more taxes on the city. And I'm not too crazy about his deals, like most politicians, with his, where he's getting his funding from and the allegations that have been made in the public. But it's more that he's not looking at the finances. Why does almost all of the city projects end up going beyond scheduling and over budget? Nobody goes back and looks at these things and finds out why everything costs so much more. We know New York City's expensive, but there are a lot of programs that are being done in other cities, and they do it cheaper and on time. And I think that's the area that he's the weakest in, and that's why I felt for the long-term benefit of the city, I couldn't vote for him this time.
But you voted for nobody for mayor?
That's right. I just said that nobody was worthy of my vote.
Why wouldn't you give...
It was more like a protest.
Yeah. And did you consider giving Molly... I'll forget about the other ones for now.
Yeah.
Did you consider giving Molly Otakus a chance? Or for that matter, you know, one of the Sal Albanese who ran against the kinds of things?
I'm a Democrat, so it would be very hard to...
Yeah.
You know, I'm an old-time Democrat, so I'm sort of reluctant to do it. And
I
think she isn't really running for mayor. I think she'd like to, but she realizes she hasn't got a shot. But she's running. She's now a known entity, not only in the city and the state, and she's doing a fine job in elevating her reputation for future office.
Marty, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Howard in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hey, Howard, happy Election Day.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning. And like everyone else, I have nothing but praise for your show.
Thank you.
Brian, I am voting for Laura Curran for Nassau County Executive. At one point, I was leaning toward Jack Martins, although his political positions, particularly on cultural issues, are far more conservative than mine. I was impressed with his knowledge and experience. I think Laura Curran is well-intentioned and will be good, but I didn't think she had the background that Martins had. And then one day, listening to your show, when you had the two of them on, the moment of decision came for me when you asked him about a flyer that a caller had just called in about, a flyer that said that MS-13 is the candidate of Laura Curran and Meet Your New Neighbors, with a photo of three fearsome-looking men.
Yes, it was for people who don't know this. Laura Curran is a Democrat for Nassau County Executive. Jack Martins is the Republican, and he did put out an ad, and he vigorously defended it when I asked him about it, saying Laura Curran is putting out the welcome mat for the gang MS-13.
Yeah, and that, that made it a very easy call for me. I just... I know Jack Martins isn't going to care about my vote in particular, but this is my chance to send a message that kind of fear-mongering shouldn't work anymore.
I'm curious, that issue aside, how close a call it was for you, because it's interesting, you know, Nassau County Executive, any county executive, it is, and they all run this way, that it would be a less ideological position. It's not about national politics. In that case, he was trying to play on the kind of Trump fear, Trump-related fear that, not fear of Trump, fear that Trump plays on to get votes in this election, bring it down to the local level. But other than that, you'd see yourself as kind of a swing voter?
Not in general. I am a straight Democratic voter for years and years. I can count on the fingers of one hand the times that I've voted for any Republican for any office in my more than 40 years of voting. And yet he came across as level-headed, knowledgeable, I thought the Democrats maybe could have fielded a stronger candidate.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be fine, should she be elected, which I hope she is.
But enough of a difference there that you were considering Jack Martins until. Howard, thank you so much for checking in. I really appreciate it. In our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll here on the Brian Lehrer Show. We're taking calls from people anywhere in New York State right now on the mayoral election, constitutional convention referendum, Nassau, Westchester, Rockland, county executive, anything in New York State. We'll have Van Jones joining us after that. Then we'll have the New Jersey side of the informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll later in the show. And Julie in the Bronx here on WNYC. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Brian. You are so amazing. You're baked into my days. I hope you know that.
I'm glad. Just don't burn me.
Well, Brian, I have been incredibly demoralized since November of last year, but I must vote. And I did vote specifically to vote on the Constitutional Convention and the Proposition 2. I'm sorry. I voted for de Blasio. I held my nose and did it. I'd like to see some more things happening in the Bronx, but it was a foregone conclusion. So I just wanted to make myself heard on no for the con convention and also no pensions for felons.
Right. And again, listeners, that's gotten very little publicity, including here. Question number two on the ballot in New York State to deny pensions to public employees who are convicted of felonies that pertain to their jobs. And again, I imagine that that wording strikes people as so obvious that they would want to do that, that it's going to pass. On the other hand, I guess people could argue, well, after they serve their time, like, what if they were good public employees in other respects for 30 years? Do we want to deny them their entire pension? Is that too stringent a penalty? I guess that if somebody wants to make a case on the other side, I guess it would be that. Is it too stringent a penalty? Did you give that any thought?
I don't see how it could be stringent when one of the pillars that you must uphold as a public servant is to be a good steward of the people's money and to not succumb to any kind of financial influence. If you can't uphold that basic tenet of your office, you don't deserve my money in perpetuity.
And hopefully, assuming that's enacted, it will be an even further impediment. Besides the little thing about going to jail, that'll be an even further impediment to people who are tempted to get corrupted or commit other job-related felonies. Why did you hold your nose and vote for de Blasio? Why did you put it that way?
Well, I must tell you that we do live in a cult of personality, and I agree he's done some good progressive things for the city, but his degree of arrogance and his inability to ever admit to any fault or wrongdoing puts me off tremendously. I don't like the guy.
Julie.
But you don't have to like someone who's working for you if they're doing, you know, a decent job.
Thanks, Julie. And that might contrast with Dina in the Columbus Circle area. Hi, Dina. You're on WNYC.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think he's amazing, this mayor. You know, unfortunately, politics we know is corrupt. Well, and by the way, I'd like to know that writing candidate to vote against Cy Vance. Uh-huh. I didn't know that information that you put out there, and that's very important to me. So maybe after. And also, too, I want to shout out for Tish James. You know, I want to vote for her for public advocate again. I think these two are amazing candidates. But unfortunately, like I was trying to say, the politics today is so corrupt that even if they're trying to do good things, there's always some distraction. There's always someone trying to put like a bump in the road so they can't do their job. I don't think he's arrogant at all. I've met him many times, and his lovely wife, they are very down to earth. They're for the people. And like the first caller said, they've helped so many middle class of people put money back in their pockets. So I'm going to go out today and vote and smile and be happy for Trish James, right?
Tish.
What is it?
Yeah, Tish.
Tish, that's her nickname.
Yeah.
Tish James and Mayor de Blasio. And can you give me the name of that writing candidate that I can write his name and against Cy Vance, please?
It's Mark Fleedner, F-L-I-E-D-N-E-R, Fleedner.
Great. And by the way, in my voter guide, there is no
There's no section for Cy Vance at all, or Mark Fleedler. I looked through it twice already. There's nothing in my voter guide.
Right. Well, Fleedler just declared a few weeks ago, after those stories surfaced about the non-indictments in the Trump Soho case and the Harvey Weinstein case. So it's a very last-minute thing, too late for the printed and mailed voter guide. And I don't know if they'd include a write-in candidate anyway. And I guess I'm just surmising here that since Vance is unopposed on the ballot, that's why they didn't bother to put that race in the voter's guide, if in fact they didn't. But he is somebody who's on the ballot, so they could have. But there you go. Dina, thank you very much. Marilyn in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First off, in terms of the three propositions, I have to say I relied on the New York Times editorial page today to make those votes. And they suggested no, yes, yes. And I read what they said and agreed with them. So I went that way. I voted for George Latimer in the Westchester County executive race.
The
I went to high school with George.
Uh-huh.
He and I used to we did the morning announcements together. And all of us knew he was going to run for public office in his adulthood. So I was not surprised to see him rise through the ranks. I'm a little disappointed in George because of the news recently, but I had to vote for him.
The news
anyway.
About his, like, $2,000 of unpaid parking tickets,
yeah,
things
that,
like that?
Yeah, that was one of the things, yes. Yeah, but, it was disappointing, but I still had to vote for him.
For you, as somebody who, I guess, leans Democratic
in
Westchester, the county leans Democratic.
Yes, it does.
And yet, Rob Astorino, the Republican, has won for county executive in the past. How's he done, in your opinion?
You know, I'm... people seem to like him. I really didn't follow him that much. He didn't seem to be doing anything terrible, but it's very difficult for me to vote for a Republican. I voted Democratic all my life, mm-hmm. That's why I went with George.
Marilyn, thank you for your call. Richard on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I proudly voted for Bill de Blasio. You know, I didn't hold my nose. I think the guy's done a terrific job, especially with policing and attempting to change the relationship with minority communities and the police department. I think that is so important that we have someone who's really progressive on that issue, for sure. As far as ConCon, I voted no, and I voted no proudly. How dare they put up or could possibly put up for vote whether or not someone gets their pension or someone gets their pension cut? Okay, that's a pact that was made by, that's what civil service is about. You decide to work for the state or the city or whatever, and you get, as one of the perks, for sacrificing yourself in your job for 40 years or 30 years, and here's your pension. I mean, it's as simple as that. We're going to put that up for a vote. This sounds like Scott Walker in sheep's clothing, if you ask me. So, I'm very progressive. I make no bones about it. I'm probably to the left of de Blasio, but I think he's done a great, great job.
What part of Staten Island do you live on?
I live on the South Shore, where some houses have the Tea Party flag flying, along with Maliotakis for mayor.
Do you have conversations with your neighbor? You'd be kind of a unicorn in that area, right?
Oh, you're not kidding. Yes, I have, and some of them have not been... you know, quite friendly. My thing is that this is Trump Town. Okay, you have to understand that. And I decided that I've talked to you about this before. I don't give Trump credit for anything. You know, even if he did something good tomorrow, I wouldn't give him any any credit. And my opinion is this: we're in a death battle, you know, with people like Trump. And
what do you give me your? And I got to go in a second. But you, from your point of view as a progressive Democrat living on the South Shore of Staten Island, Trump signs, Tea Party signs. What motivates your neighbors? And people don't know, in many cases, that Staten Island voted for Trump by a greater percentage than the state of Texas. So it's really Trump country. What motivates people? I mean, they're not you know, Confederate flag that, you know, they're not Southerners with that particular heritage or whatever. What led your neighbors to vote for Trump as much as they did?
I would say, I mean, I don't know what's in people's heart, but I think race was the issue. Race is a big issue on Staten Island. That's why it's, I don't know, what it is, 70-something percent white. And I think the second demographic is Hispanic, I think. Okay, I might be wrong with those numbers. But, yeah, oh, without a doubt, with the people I talked to where I live, the Tea Party guys, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
More immigration race or black-white race?
And black-white race, both.
Yeah, both. Richard, thank you very much. And guess what? That's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll for voters in New York State.